Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast already, this Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Feel free to weigh in if you like. Phone number's local 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. And toll free if you are calling from the Batcave, 800-313-9443. That one costs the network money, so if you have free long distance, please use the local number. I'm just going to throw all this stuff out, and the things that I mentioned in the first hour, and just put it all together and just throw it out real quick one time, and you can do with that what you like. This is my perspective. Again, I think, hopefully this offers something of value and brings something sort of unique to the discussion. So speaking of inflation, what does that have to do with what we're talking about here? It has everything to do with what we're talking about here. The proliferation of English translations, particularly Bible translations, and this again is, the subject has arisen a few times recently, but particularly, I would say, as a result of David's call yesterday and the mention of Gail Ripplinger and the problems with the New King James. In particular, and it is provocative when you look for yourself. I mean, I think it's something that we all have to, like the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to search these things out to the extent that you see fit. Like I said in the first hour, I don't think a dogmatic approach results in anything good. I think that ends up doing bad things. So the inflation of the currency. John Stadmiller used to mention the funny money system on a regular basis and his consternation regarding the funny money system because it's theft. It's legalized theft. Even guys like John Maynard Keynes admitted, Keynes wrote in the Economic Consequences of the Peace in 1919, for example, that inflation is essentially government-sanctioned theft. It is the invisible tax. And we have a system that sort of encourages it. If you go to a place like Wharton or London School of Economics or something, you learn the tricks of the trade of the first money game. That the little guy, so to speak, the average citizen does not understand. And there's a dishonesty to it. Many people have written about that. Again, if you haven't read Andrew Jackson's farewell address, I would encourage you to even download it or print it off and read it. This is a subject that many folks have spoken to throughout the years, and also it seems that anytime there's an assassination or an assassination attempt, this issue is somewhere on the periphery. It's lurking on the periphery. Anyway, that's the money inflation specifically, or so-called in this case. We don't really have money anymore. like Jefferson said, paper is poverty, it's the ghost of money and not money itself, which is another observation, provocative observation, you see in Andrew Jackson's farewell address. By the way, quick parenthetical aside, as I mentioned at the bottom of the first hour, the first hour of tomorrow's broadcast, Road Warrior Radio, will actually be a promotional hour for G. Edward Griffin's upcoming Red Pill Expo. So I don't know the details on that yet. We don't have the details on exactly how that's going to work tomorrow during the first hour of this broadcast, but just know that tomorrow, Wednesday, October 19, 2022, the first hour of the broadcast will be promotional for Griffin's Red Pill Expo. So there's that. The inflation. So if you inflate or expand or multiply the supply of currency in circulation, what happens? It creates when you increase the volume of monetary units in circulation, the currency, what happens? Causes inflation, which means what? Generally speaking, they say you have more units chasing fewer goods, and so it causes a precipitous rise in price. It also devalues everything in circulation. But that's a first money game kind of a thing, where if you can take advantage of the units that come into circulation, the newly introduced units, that's called the first money game. So, you know, if you can grab it, if you can be part of the military-industrial complex, for example, and so as soon as Congress appropriates something, it goes pretty much first to you, and then it circulates out into the community. Hey, then you benefit from the disparity that's created by this inflationary process. Conversely, if you are waiting tables or, you know, doing something where you're just trying to make an honest living and maybe you get tips and things like that, you are injured perhaps most by the first money game, because that unit has circulated through society to a point now where it's kind of on the other end, where this economic unit is now at the point where it's about to experience a white death, so to speak, in, you know, astronomical terms. It's kind of at the end of its life, and so it's gone through circulation. The market has found its equilibrium. Even Alan Greenspan mentioned, you know, the law of supply and demand is not to be conned, and so the market catches up, finds equilibrium. And so that's kind of how that works. Anyway, inflation devalues the currency in circulation. It devalues the currency. You know, as inflation goes up, what happens to the purchasing power of our units? The Federal Reserve uses funny language. They say the Federal Reserve note, which we construe or conflate with the dollar, they say it has no value. Even the Federal Reserve says it has no value. Well, then how do we buy stuff? They say it has purchasing power based on confidence. That sounds imaginary. That's because it pretty much is. Even Galbraith said in, you know, teaching this stuff, the process is so simple the mind is literally repelled, he said. So inflation devalues the currency in circulation. In monetary terms, more inflation means that our dollars, for example, so-called, buy fewer goods and services. Devalues the currency. So when you think about that in terms of translations, Bible translations, if there is a proliferation of translations, what does it do? Psychologically, doesn't it devalue the currency? And think about, you know, again, in meta sort of terms, Marshall McLuhan, medium is the message sort of terms, where now you have this volume of translations rather than one wow, this is, you know, this is it. Not to say that anyone is right or wrong. It's a nuanced discussion, but usually our mind approaches the discussion with kind of a blunted mindset. You know, we approach a surgical conversation with a blunt instrument kind of thing. And I think that happens far too often. And so the tendency might be to, if we're not careful, to kind of heap to ourselves those translations that tell us what we want to hear. Well, this one really speaks to me. The itching ears of 2 Timothy 4. So I think the inflation, devaluing the currency of the Bible is a concern. Anyway, just to finish this thought on translations, again, I think one of the first considerations is, by their fruits you shall know them, Matthew 7, 16 to 23. How are the modern translations holding up? What is the fruit they are bearing? What are we seeing in society? Like I said, when you start thinking about, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should have eternal life. And then, you know, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Anyway, then I have to have something that speaks to me. And there is the argument to be made, hey, you know, if you're going to honor the Great Commission, we have to be able to communicate. Right, but that, you know, someone might argue that that's a Romans 10 kind of thing. Not so much the translation, maybe not. It's an interesting discussion, I think. So, you know, Romans 10, the word of faith which we are preaching. And, you know, Paul says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that, when you think about it, again, secret decoder ring, the Holy Spirit can work through men in those moments uniquely, whereas when it's recorded, maybe, you know, since it's not God-breathed like Scripture, then that is a whole different animal. Doesn't work the same way. So, you know, are we heaping to ourselves those who tell us what we want to hear, or translations what we want to hear, rather than maybe diving in and, you know, grabbing the things that we have the opportunity because of technology to be masters of hermeneutics. I mean, we can do unbelievable things with the tools that we have. And so, but how many people do that? So that's an interesting thing. And again, drifting from word to word, concept to concept, paraphrased, it seems like that's all kind of on a particular trajectory. And again, when you start to dive into the folks and the manuscripts that were used to do that, it seems like it gets increasingly problematic. Again, where's the amazing fruit to prove otherwise? So to those who say, you know, translators are merely trying to convey meaning from the original transcripts, that's an interesting concept if you understand the original language. I would say, great. Me too. So, translators are just merely trying to convey meaning in contemporary vernacular. Okay, great. Me too. So we all want to know exactly what was conveyed in the original text, right? So we're all going to act like Bereans now, and we're going to flex our biblical Hebrew, Koine Greek, and Latin muscles, and probably throw in some Aramaic for good measure, right? Not to be legalistic or Pharisaical, but because, not because he needs our help. Obviously, that's not the case, but out of love and gratitude and appreciation, so we can really make sure we avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit for the greatest likelihood to allow us to grasp the true meaning of the original text. Because remember, we can't forget the Bible is the living word of God. And as such, his exact message may change from person to person, moment to moment. I'm being facetious. Not many people are diving into, again, speaking of the language, the Koine Greek is generally considered common. So this is a common vernacular. You want a common vernacular? That's, the Koine Greek is not the classical Greek that, the scholarly Greek. It's the common language. So, but how many people are diving into that? Again, which direction do these things have us gravitating, if you will? And look at the direction of the modern translations. We go from more of a faithful treatment of the King James, if you will. And this is broadly paraphrasing, but it seems you go from a faithful treatment of the King James and related to, like I said, the Message, Amplified, Living, so-called paraphrases. And I'm not sure anything good can come from that. Again, what's the fruit? So we live in an age where we increasingly expect to have everything handed to us, including this stuff, and we are indignant at the first sign of inconvenience, all of which does not bode well when confronted by Jesus' admonition to take heed that no man deceive you. And, it's interesting, the attacks. I wrote a thing recently about the authenticity of the authorship of Paul. I call it the authorship of Paul. And I think just from a layman's standpoint, there are two primary reasons that Paul is targeted. We don't need Paul. I mean, there are obvious reasons when you start diving into Paul, but the two obvious reasons are, the volume of authorship. At least 13 of 27 New Testament books are credited to Paul's authorship. So if you get rid of Paul, you get rid of half of the New Testament and a fifth of the entire Bible. And, specifically with the regard to the stuff that I've been talking about lately, the letters credited to Paul are a repudiation of the, what Gary Kaw called the New World Religion. The creeping Gnostic bent, so-called Christian mysticism, which is an oxymoron. Jewish mysticism is the same kind of oxymoron, I would say. But, creeping, the scope creep from Talmud to Zohar to Kabbalah and so on, Hermeticism and back to Babylon and Egypt and Mesopotamia, et cetera, et cetera. It's a repudiation of all of that. No wonder. We need to get rid of that. And again, if you start diving into the folks who were responsible for these translations, you start to, many questions arise pretty quickly, I would say. Anyway, I said I would move on. We got calls. Maybe a final thought or two, but we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history? but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization. Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Thought, and we'll go to the phones. I'm not entirely convinced that the same red thread that I mentioned recently hasn't been working, hasn't been at work down through the ages, particularly in the so-called modern era, which again is a very arrogant, solipsistic, self-indulgent term. Every era is the modern era. Every age, every generation lives in the modern era. You know, all the more so if you listen to what scientists say, you know, the Einsteinian cliche that the past and the future are stubbornly persistent illusions. Anyway, if you were the Bible, if you were the devil, wouldn't that be what you'd want to do? Wouldn't you want to corrupt the Bible somehow? If you're the devil, wouldn't that be exactly what you'd want to do? Would you want to corrupt the text or find something in a cave somewhere that ostensibly explains the text better? Or maybe you'd start or co-opt leadership of major oversight groups, because after all, best way to control the opposition is to start it or lead it, eh, dear comrades? So again, I believe, you know, with all of that said, ultimately the operative questions remain: who decides, who's in charge, who's glorified, you know, again, what's the fruit? I believe ultimately the, you know, when one actually takes time to look for oneself at the hundreds of King James Version alterations and omissions, it's breathtaking, I would say, really. If you look for yourself, if you haven't, look and just see for yourself. Oh my goodness. It seems to, even if you don't have someone else's commentary, you just look at those alterations and omissions. It's, you know, you could almost make a Bible out of that, I would say. You know, I don't, I'm being slightly facetious, but I don't know. I've thought maybe there's a way to do that so that you can see those things, you know, in a certain translation, you know, similar to the way, for example, you know, speaking of Farstad's explainer, similar to his preface to the New King James kind of thing. But anyway, all that said, I believe the final word again is prayerfully seek the Holy Spirit in humility, not to get mired in the controversy of translations. And, you know, for all who are interested in this discussion, and I have maintained all along, you know, he is faithful to provide answers. I've heard well-intentioned enough people say things like, you know, this and that, strip God of this and that, or in some way had some deleterious effect on him. You know, you can say whatever you want. You don't take anything from him. To, you know, to that I would say, make no mistake, Jesus specifically said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father, he said in John 10:18. So if God can do that, or deliver a message through a donkey to a disobedient prophet, he can get a message to you or me. Hopefully that's enough on that. Probably very controversial. To the phones, Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I had more time when you first called for calls. You kind of jumped so many topics.
That's all the same topic, though.
What the heck was it I was calling about? So the lazy man's way out is to just say, you know, pray about it and trust God, and then forget that study to show that self-approved.
So you're calling me lazy.
At the same time, you've got the principle of be not deceived from the simplicity. And if you're looking at that, then the rest of these translations simply are tools. But I think it's hypocritical to apply what you just said to all these translations and not consider that there's flaws in the King James. Because, as you said, the modern times, then you had King James with his motivations for the translation, what they may be.
Yeah.
You already had the Wycliffe Bible. You had, you know, the Gutenberg Press was knocking on the door. You had the, what they call America's Bible, the Geneva Bible, which directly attacks the Pope.
We could summarize it as the D or the Baconian influence, maybe. We could summarize it broadly that way.
King James also owned everything, right? He owned even the animals.
So I mentioned the post over at AskAnyDifference.com, difference between KJV and NKJV, and I mentioned the videos that are in that. The first one that you see is Dr. Robert Plummer talking about this, and he says kind of the same thing, you know, going back to not just King James, but, you know, what about these guys? Like, what about Peter? We could say that Peter had some issues and stuff like that, but that's not what we're talking about. Anyway, I'll clarify on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carry. Great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer. 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer. 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Play just a little snippet of it doesn't necessarily help to explain, but you know, to articulate the issue. Dr. Robert Plummer, again, from that post that I mentioned, and the video is titled "Is the King James Version of the Bible the Most Accurate Translation?" He, you know, yes and no. That's what he says. Anyway, here's an excerpt from that. Go ahead, please.
But someone can be a very good translator and also have a moral failure later in their lives. And if you apply that same principle to the translators of the King James Version, it also, I believe, would fail, especially if you look at King James himself, who was involved in the translation. Or let's take it back even to the apostles. You know, we take certain snapshots of Peter's life and say, should this guy be allowed to write a book of the Bible because of this moral failure or this inconsistency? So I don't think that standard can consistently stand up.
All right. Criticism. That's enough of that. This is obviously not a new discussion. We play that only because this is an acknowledged thing. But the question is, does it edify? Again, I don't want to get mired in the controversy. And I think of that image, the Descent of the Modernist by E.J. Pace, that is a representation from William Jennings Bryan's Seven Questions in Dispute, where you have the descent into hell with these questions, you know, and this one would be the second question of the Bible's infallibility. And so, you know, I don't want to get mired in controversy. Is it edifying, I think, is a good question.
I think that the different translations are tools. I called back, I think it was last week or something, and I talked about how when I came out of high school, we didn't have any exposure to Shakespeare. And that's in the same sort of Middle English that the original King James is, not the King James we have today. The authorized version, you might call it, which is currently authorized, I guess, by what, the Anglican Church Committee or something? I mean, who authorizes the authorized King James? Some corporation that's set up over there in the business district of London, perhaps, but it's not the King James. You go back and read those, really, it's in the, even the, like, handwritten versions of the Geneva Bible. It's hard to get through those. So what I found was plot summaries when I was trying to read Shakespeare, and it helped me to, you know, understand the flow of the events. And that's what I found with the Revised Standard Version. It was pretty edifying at the time, and I think 1989 when I pulled that off the shelf, never had seen it before. An ex-boss of mine had it on a wall of books, and I just happened to spot it. And the curiosity for me in that was the footnote about chapter 13 in the book of Revelation. It said some ancient Greek manuscripts gave the mark of the beast as 616. And so I puzzled over that until I was able to read and dig for some explanations on the Internet. So even the Internet, you know, can be a tool. I don't think you need to allow yourself to become deceived or distracted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. So the basic premise is that we've been freed from all that ritualistic stuff that the Jews did. And I've talked with a guy who talks about the Levites, describes them as lies are us. Which, you know, if you're talking about throwing out Paul and his flaws, and every character, it looks like, from David to Solomon to whoever, that we are supposed to revere, they all had these flaws.
Sure.
They all had, like, almost pretty much fatal flaws of character.
Mm-hmm.
David had a man sit the battlefield to die so he could have his wife. I mean, that's pretty deep.
Why do you suppose the Bible calls David, you know, out of all of the others, why does God refer to him as a man after God's own heart?
I guess he was more interested in when he wasn't lusting after women or something. He was more interested in seeking out his plan for his life or something. Speaking of his lust,
I would say, you know, his repentance is on full display in Psalm 51, for example. So I think that despite those failings, that was, you know, where his heart was more than anything else. Or, you know, all of the other examples, the census, you know, when Samuel confronts him, you know, what would you say about a guy who has this flock and he goes after this one ewe lamb, and David says, that guy, you know what, off with his head. And Samuel says, that guy's you. He repents immediately. And
I'm not so sure that's always happened with the Jewish people or the Hebrews, we'll say.
No, we're talking about David specifically, and we're talking about individual people, though. We're conflating context.
Well, there used to be a guy on shortwave, Pete Peters, who called it the greatest love story never told, and he talked about how the people in general, the Hebrews, God's chosen, would go from, you know, repentance to prosperity, then they get corrupt, and they have to be warned and disciplined, and they fall back into slavery again. And you were talking about lust was a topic there a minute ago when we were talking about David and his lust. And they actually named a place in the wilderness.
Well, you said when David wasn't lusting after women, and yes, the Bathsheba thing, obviously, you know, you mentioned the story of Uriah, David sending Uriah into battle, basically so that he could, you know, steal Uriah's wife. And Psalm 51 is the eternal testament to David's repentance. That's a pretty, I mean, when you think about it, that's a pretty amazing letter to write. Think about trying to write that for all of history. That's pretty remarkable, I would say. You know,
his mind was in the right place that he knew he needed to leave something to perhaps help people to avoid such a mistake or falling for that.
I think it's just that he was a man after God's own heart, and it didn't matter. You know, other people didn't matter. It was, you know, his pursuit of God. Anyway.
Well, what I'm getting at is the place of lust in the wilderness is a part of that pattern where they, even though they had everything provided for, and what I find interesting is the way people don't follow through the whole story, and even though that's mentioned later in, I think, Proverbs, their God was their belly, and I don't know that there's anything about them repenting in there.
Well,
there's a bunch of them were killed, and you hear people say, well, if God didn't mean for people to eat meat, why did he send them quail in the wilderness? They missed the whole point of the story, was that they were provided everything they needed, the water, the manna, and they still wanted to go back into slavery because they missed that meat that was sacrificed to idols. And
perhaps
I find that interesting.
The takeaway is that the human condition is as it has always been, maybe. Hey, we have other calls, Mike. I got to jump. Appreciate it, as always. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I hope I can get all of this out. I strongly, I'll give you my thoughts and my opinions and other things. I do believe strongly that you are guided by the Holy Spirit. You're also very intellectual. You're an intellectual. Mike, Kentucky, is an intellectual. And you have callers too. Your program that are very bright, even could be considered intellectual. To get through life on a daily basis, we have to use our intellect for as much as the Christ has given us. But to intellectualize the Bible is foolish.
I would agree.
Now, I hope you ask me a lot of questions later on. I pray that you would. But, well, I don't lose my train of thought here. Without, you use an example of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think that's very well and good. You're also quite bright. I'm not trying to butter you up, but it's obvious. And there's other callers that are quite bright. But when you let your personal ego, intellect, override your spiritual and trust in the Bible, then you can go off in all directions. Now, I believe strongly that God will never leave us without the information or the book. Now, all the apostles in the book were flawed men. And that goes to show us that we're all flawed. In other words, you hear this day in and day out. Nobody's perfect. not a damn one of us since Adam and Eve, after Adam and Eve. But I believe strongly that the King James Bible is the best and the safest.
Mm-hmm.
And as you progress and praying through the Spirit and thinking in the Spirit and talking and praying to God in the Spirit, in other words, if you're going to intellectualize or think, what's going to be your personal book of rules or your standard? Think about that. And
which is, I mean, that's exactly why I said what I said at the outset, you know, about the dogma, the dogmatic approach, you know, to the subject matter is, you know, dogma being a settled opinion, you know, a tenet held as being firmly established. That approach to life, you know, is essentially declaring God dead because, you know, you, it's Nietzsche's thus spake Zarathustra. I mean, you're saying this is how it is and I don't need any further input.
I heard that when you first said it, and I agree with you 100%. Now, and then you mentioned about different faiths, I guess I could call it that, have bookstores. Okay. All of these religions, Protestant religions, thousands of beliefs and versions, there's only one truth, only one truth. And I'm saying this, that the church or the system that I believe in it, comports and is in total agreement with the King James Version. That isn't to say that you have to belong to this church, because belonging to a certain church does not save you. Being baptized does not save you. It's your relationship through the Spirit to talk to God, Jesus Christ, and try your best to repent. Now, you cannot do it by yourself. You cannot do nothing by yourself. And pray for the Holy Spirit to guide and help you. And when everything goes wrong and bad, and you're hip-deep in alligators, pray the most and thank your Creator for putting you in that pond where you're hip deep in alligators, because that's a lesson to learn. It's hard lessons, but we have to trust and say, thank you, Father, for showing me. I want easier ways, but your is the only way. Now,
yeah, like Peter said, what about him? Don't worry about that, Peter. You follow me.
Yeah, and then three times and the cock crowed and he went into tears and realized, you know, what he'd done. And then the confrontation between Paul and Peter about the big sheet coming down from the sky and with all sorts of animals in it. And he said, yeah. Peter said that I've never ate anything that's not kosher, for the loss of a better word.
Yeah.
Until he realized when he was talking to the centurion that it was people, not animals, eating the wrong meat. So he learned. And Paul had learned this already. I'm kind of rambling on here, going to different examples. But we need our intellect on a daily basis to wind our way through our daily lives. When you intellectualize God, then you're losing it.
I agree. And I think I said that almost verbatim.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That doesn't mean that you don't use your brain or your intellect. But
obviously, yeah.
But what's going to be your standard? And I know you said these things, but I want to emphasize it. It's being in
the question again. It's the question that, you know, at least two parts, maybe three part question. Who decides who's in charge, and you know, who's glorified? I think the who decides who's in charge is kind of the direct, and then the more meta, indirect, you know, McLuhan medium is the message kind of question is who's glorified as a result of it, and you can see, you know, what's the fruit anyway.
Yes, and jumping back to, well, essentially, I belong to an organization, I belong to a church, I belong to a system that I believe is the most accurate church. But Jesus said, and I don't know where the verse is, I have sheep in other pastures, and they know my voice. Well, that could be a Hindu, a what's the one in the the ism, faith or religions or beliefs, that there are people in other pastures that live a life that actually, in their actions, they are doing God's will. Now, when Jesus said, you know, that I have sheep and other pastures, they know my voice. So that doesn't mean, and I'm not saying, that you have to be in the faith of the system or the church that I believe in, because it's the church that teaches prophecy more than any other church. But this church that I belong to is a Protestant church, and it is apostatizing from the top down, like the churches today in Laodicea. They pipe the water in from the hot springs, and when you could drink it when it was hot, or you could drink it when it was cold and it was palatable. But when it was lukewarm, it was unpalatable. And that's why.
Yeah, message to the Laodiceans. Reminds me of Romans 2 also. When For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We are running short on time. I want to go back to the phones real
quick. We need our intellect, but don't intellectualize the Bible.
Agreed. And, much appreciated,
sir. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Back to the phones quickly in the interest of time. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I appreciate it. Two things real quick.
Mike in Kentucky, I hope he's listening. I was being sarcastic when I mentioned seeing the dark side of the moon, and he kind of chastised me for it. There's not a dark side of the moon, Mike. I know that, you know that. The other thing is, you know, when we're talking about translations, the devil is accomplishing, if he can cause, for instance, removing Paul's authorship or Paul's credibility, he's accomplishing exactly what he set out to do. He's casting doubt on God's word, yeah, whether it's inspired or whether it is contrived. So the best thing that we can do is ask ourselves the question, does your anchor hold? Where are you moored? And if we're fighting one another, we're like two ships in a harbor that mm-hmm. are docked too close to one another, and the storm comes and we beat each other to death. That's not edifying. That's not God's will. You know, when we see all the people in the Bible that had their proclivities and their temptations and their murderous ideas and their, you know, Moses killed and buried and got caught, that's to show us, I believe personally, none of us are good enough. Christ is the only way. And when we are not willing to continue to grow, like you were talking about, we're putting ourselves in a position of God. If we're dogmatic, if nothing can ever change, then how do you go from drinking the milk of the gospel to eating the meat?
And that usually happens with the best of intentions, so to speak. But, you know, like Mom always said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Well, it's important that we get off the milk, get on the meat, and lift one another up and edify one another and not fight. Because there's some people that take great offense. You know, I can't make you believe anything about God any more than you can make me believe. And if I can, where's God? If I'm not waiting for the leadership and the unction of the Holy Spirit to grow, and I'm following man's opinion, why is it that so many times in God's word he says, see that man deceive you? See, be not deceived. Let every man, let God be true and every man a liar. Why is that in the book? Because man's tendency...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, again, you know, it's something for us all to work out, I think, on an individual basis. But yeah, if people say, well, why would God allow the corruption of certain things? Well, why would he say, like you said, you know, why would he say, see to it that you be not deceived? And how much effort have we put into that?
Absolutely. And then if we find out we were wrong, how much integrity do you maintain or do you possess to be able to turn around or correct course,
yeah,
reorient yourself back to God's word? Because, yeah, you know as well as I do, if you're on a hike and you're 1 degree off and you're going on a 100-mile hike, you're going to be way far away from where you intended to go. So you've always got to reconnoiter and reorient yourself. Just like, yeah, Paul said, that mark, we got to stay on the mark.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, John. Reminds me of David in Psalm 51. Again, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Take care, God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.